Lesson is taken from Acts chapter 3. Peter addressed the people, "You Israelites, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we had made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the holy and righteous one, and asked to have a murderer given to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. And now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. In this way, God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out." Here ends the lesson. The psalm is Psalm 4, and will be read responsibly by verse. "Answer me when I call out, O God, defender of my cause. You set me free when I am hard-pressed. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer.
You mortals, how long will you dishonor? How long will you worship the idols and run after false gods?
Know that the Lord does wonders for the faithful. When I call upon the Lord, he will hear me.
Tremble then, and do not sin. Speak to your heart in silence upon your bed.
Offer the appointed sacrifices, and put your trust in the Lord.
Many are saying, "Oh, that we might see better times. Lift up the light of your countenance.
You have put gladness in my heart more than when grain and wine and oil increase.
I lie down in peace. At once I fall asleep. For only you, Lord, make me dwell in safety.
The second lesson is taken from 1 John chapter 3. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he was revealed to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. Here ends the lesson.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus himself stood among the disciples and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish. And he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated at this time, the children's sermon. Okay, I see two. Three. Great. Whoops. Okay. Oh my golly, no, more. All right. Maybe I'll be able to see you all better from up here. Let me sit on this side. So good to see you. Almighty God, guide us as we gather for this children's sermon. In Jesus' name, amen. When we can't see very clearly, do you know what we get? You go to the eye doctor, and they'll give you an eye exam, and you're all fortunate, yes? Glasses. And none of you need glasses, do you? That's good. So your vision is clear, far away, and up close. That's wonderful. Were you able to get the special glasses to watch the eclipse that occurred on Monday? Now, what were those glasses like? Very dark, weren't they? If you put them on in here, you'd see nothing, right? Until you looked up, and then you could see the sun. So glasses are very important, those to protect us, and then the other glasses to help us see if we want to each day. But seeing Jesus isn't about wearing glasses. I think you know that. We see Jesus when we are sharing kind words with each other, We see Jesus when we are listening to each other, and like you're doing in such a wonderful way. We see Jesus when we are opening our arms and hands to help each other. So we see Jesus around and in us and in other people. In this gospel lesson, and that doesn't happen just in Luke, they didn't recognize the resurrected Jesus. It was Jesus, but they didn't recognize. They saw him, but didn't know him. And in this lesson, he goes through a few things. He tells them it's really him. He lets them see his wounds and touch his body so that they know it's not a ghost. We believe in a bodily resurrection. It means that we recognize each other when we enter the kingdom. And he eats a piece of fish. Well, a ghost wouldn't eat fish. They wouldn't do that. And so then Jesus fills their minds with his gift and opens their minds, and they believe that this is indeed Jesus. I did bring some glasses today, which are kind of funny, and so it's sort of a funny children's sermon. Do these glasses have anything in them? Nothing. Well, they're nice and colorful, and you'll have a colorful choice of a colorful pair of glasses. But I thought it'd be good to have them, and when you put them on, maybe remember, well, there's nothing there. And that's a good reminder that you and I see Jesus not only with our eyes. We see Jesus with our hands and our hearts and our minds and our bodies and our arms and even our feet when we are open and willing to embrace and care for one another and our people. So we give thanks that Jesus is here and we have the chance to see him. Amen. The blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with each of you. Amen. So the glasses are here and they're ready, so please take one, reminding you that we see Jesus in many, many ways through our eyes also. Amen. Thank you. So no one will, okay, that's great. They'll wear them, perfect. Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words that are spoken and how we listen be guided by the Holy Spirit and truth of the Holy Gospel, that we indeed may see and recognize you in the midst of our living in community together. In Jesus' name, amen. Where do we find inspiration for daily living? I have to tell you, as I deviate a little bit from the sermon, just a little, that when I hear this Kyrie that David led us through, the music and the words are inspiring to me. Lord, have mercy. Lord, walking with us wherever we're going, for the peace of the world, for the well-being of the church, let us pray to the Lord. Where do you find inspiration for daily living? Inspiration is more than what helps us get out of bed and face the new day. Inspiration is to infuse an animating or quickening or uplifting influence into us. It is almost like being lifted. Inspire is to affect with a positive and empowering feeling or thought. And hopefully it can carry us for a while. It's just not there one minute and gone the next. The word inspire comes from a Latin root inspirare, which means to breathe into or to inhale. So inspiration is related to breathing, as is the movement of the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. So inspiration is related to who is breathing into us and what we are breathing in. breathing in not only in the sense of the air around us that sustains our lives, but breathing also in the life-sustaining breath of Almighty God, the Creator, the Savior, and the Holy Spirit. At the same time, we can breathe in fear. We can breathe in doubt or uncertainty. We can breathe in a thought that we might want more. We can breathe in a thought that we don't measure up. We can breathe a thought in that someone else is better than we are. We can do a lot of things from the false breath of the tempter. In a spiritual sense, there are many things we can breathe in, including the air around us. You and I want to be focusing on breathing in the Holy Spirit. In our spiritual journey, we want to be focusing on not breathing in anything the tempter might want you to stumble because of. Centering prayer is a meditation exercise that begins with a series of calming words to help us center and focus on prayerful listening and focus on our own breathing, praying for the breath of the Holy Spirit. For example, I could say to you, breathe in the Holy Spirit, and we would go, breathe in the Holy Spirit, breathe in the Holy Spirit, and breathe out the tempter. Breathe out the tempter. Breathe in peace. Breathe out fear. Breathe in love. Exhale anger. You know how important breathing is. If any of you watch any sports at all, if any of you watch actors and singers and musicians, or even people that speak in public, you can see them take a deep breath and breathe out. That's so important, because that breathing in not only is about breathing in air, it's also about breathing in the Spirit of God, even if they don't know they are breathing in God. When we are aware of our breathing, we can center ourselves, we can calm ourselves, we can be attentive to how we are inspired by the calming breath of God, or how we are being confused by the breath of too many voices and too many conflicting opinions and too many points of view and too many things to do that pull us apart, pull us away from the calm attention to the present moment. In the gospel lesson, we have the resurrected Jesus appearing to the disciples a second time in Luke's gospel. Jesus speaks words that are the breath of God. He speaks words that are the Spirit of God when he says, "Peace be with you." When we pass the peace and look at each other and say, "Peace be with you," take that as a breath from Almighty God. "Peace be with you," Jesus says. Jesus says, "Why are you frightened? Why do you doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands, my feet. It's I myself." And then he goes on to open their minds to understand the scriptures. And then he says, You are my witnesses to all these things. The breath of the tempter is also there in this passage. Because where else would the terror and the fear and the disbelief that they have come from but the tempter's interference? We are susceptible to that. It takes spiritual discipline to shut the mouth of the tempter and hear only the breath of Almighty God. It's called spiritual discipline. And that little exercise I gave you is one way to be trained to listen to the Holy Spirit. But on that day, with hearts and minds opened and a mission given, they were inspired by the risen Christ and the breathing of the Holy Spirit. There is a pattern to this lesson that helps you follow it. A very simple pattern. There is an encounter. They are with Jesus. He is present. He encounters them and they don't recognize he's with them. There is secondly an explanation. There is an interpretation given of the resurrection through the scriptures and through the teaching of Jesus. And there is a third step. There is the eating or the meal. Now it says Jesus ate the broiled fish, and it doesn't say they ate with him, but I take that to mean a reminder of a meal. Together builds community. You know that. You've done that here for a long time. Meals build community. And then there is the moment of enlightenment, or let's say inspiration. Their eyes are opened. They say it's Jesus. See, it's Jesus. They recognize him and are filled with joy. And then it doesn't stop there. Jesus calls the disciples to be witnesses to the things that they have seen and have been given to them, and they are sent out in mission. This is not a sit-around faith. This is an out-there faith in the world on a mission. The beauty is that in this lesson of a few verses, it outlines for us the very pattern of our weekly worship. We come with doubts or confusions or fears or misgivings. We come with hopes and dreams and joys, and hope we'll sing a hymn we like and know we'll hear a good anthem. We come with all kinds of things in our minds and hearts, and some of them may preoccupy us and some may distract us. But ready or not, in this worship, we here encounter the risen Christ. Don't go to sleep on him. Don't let your mind wander away. Christ is here. The Creator is here. The Spirit is stirring whenever we gather in worship. And the question is, are we awake enough, alert enough, focused enough to recognize Christ's presence here and now in the wonder of this moment that will never, ever again be repeated this way? So the encounter has occurred. In the reading of Scripture, in the sermon, in music, in prayers, in anthems, in explanations that are offered, proclaiming the good news of what God has and is doing, somewhere in this 50 or 60 minutes, our prayer is that the Word of God gives us some understanding of God's will for us now, that somehow our prayer is that we are alert enough to hear this explanation. You seem to be very good listeners. And then we eat, don't we? We eat. Breaking bread, sharing the cup of salvation, the meal of Holy Eucharist. If we have not been aware of Jesus up to the time we have the meal, well, you're going to encounter Jesus very clearly, and you cannot miss him then. The risen Christ is present in, with, under, through bread and wine. The body is given and you hold it. The blood is given and you drink it. You hold Christ, eat and drink, and the Lord, the risen Lord, is in you. And that is inspiring. That is the transforming encounter that we have here that leads us out into the world to be ready for the other transforming, inspiring moments that are out there that we do not want to miss, because that's where we do what we're called to do. I mean, be witnesses. Then they were enlightened, and Eucharist enlightens us. Our spirits and minds and hearts are open to give thanks. And finally, then the sending. Christ does not leave us, but Jesus does send us. He knows we're strong enough. He knows we have what we need. He knows we're not perfect. But he sends us out into the entire world with this amazing good news, and the Holy Spirit stirs our witness. We might feel breathless today. Breathless after violence in Israel and Iran. breathless as we wait for news of a ceasefire or a hostage release or food to enter Gaza. Breathless as violence continues in the Ukraine and Myanmar and the Sudan and in other places that I've not even mentioned, but you know about, and certainly God knows about. Breathless as we are bombarded by opposing political views and the belief of some that some of people, our citizens, are above the law that keeps good order in a democracy. Breathless if someone is critical of us or picking on us. We feel breathless if we don't think we fit in somewhere. Our worship is about breathing in the breath of God, so that in all that we are facing, we are inspired. Waiting for a surgery, doing rehab, recovering from an injury, making peace in relationships, whatever we're facing, we are inspired. Because this time together is about inspiration. It's the inspiration from God that empowers us and enlivens us to be witnesses to Jesus Christ and witnesses to how God's grace and love lift and inspire us to face the opportunities and the struggles that are ahead of us. There'll be both opportunities and struggles, and how we can lift others in their opportunities and in their struggles. So, who is inspiring you? And who will you inspire? Amen. The blessing of Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with each of you.